Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, I just saw the sunrise over the hill. Never used to give me much of a thrill. Hey. But hey, man, now I'm really living.
Hey. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We just heard about the potential of music to treat and help people with special needs. Now on to another intersection of science and music. In the life of the songwriter Mark Oliver Everett, better known as simply E., and for more than 10 years, leader of the acclaimed band Eels, you're hearing their song, Hey Man, Now You're Really Living in the background, Everett's father, Hugh Everett III, was a quantum physicist who proposed the controversial many worlds theory in the late 1950s. It poses the existence of parallel universes. Now, E is exploring his own complicated relationship with his physicist father and his family in a TV documentary and in the new memoir, Things the Grandchildren Should Know. Mark Oliver Everett, a.k.a. E, joins us from the Marketplace Studios in Los Angeles. E, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Actually, it's welcome back. You were here 3 years ago playing in our studio after the last album, Blinking Lights and Other Revelations, came out. And we talked a little bit then about the role that music has played for you in dealing with tragedies like the loss of your sister and your mother in a two-year period. Why explore all of that now in this kind of deeper way in the book?
Well, for me, the way I've dealt with my family was by treating them like an ongoing art project. It was the only way I could figure out how to deal with it all. So the documentary and the book are really just sort of natural extensions of what I'd done in music previously. But yeah, like you said, a little more in depth.
Yeah, and the title, Things the Grandchildren Should Know, almost implies a sense of urgency. I mean, you don't actually have grandkids. You don't have kids yet, right?
Yes, I know. It's it's a little confusing. It's a hopeful title.
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually one of the things you told us last time was that, you know, anybody sort of listening to your music and the way that you have dealt with tragedy in your music over the years would have to consider you an optimist, which, you know, kind of a surprising statement, I guess, for people who are familiar with some of your work. But tell me, what has the role of music been for you in dealing with, you know, darker periods of your life?
It's been everything. For me, I mean, it sounds melodramatic, but I would say that it saved my life, among other things. I just feel really lucky that I've had that outlet and, you know, that focus.
Now, your father was, you know, this kind of distant parent, but also a brilliant physicist who developed the many worlds theory while he was still in his 20s. He comes across a lot more sympathetically in the documentary than in the book. What do you ascribe that to?
Well, we made the documentary right after I finished writing the book, which I think is good because the book is supposed to be just the story of this clueless kid from Virginia who grew up in the house with this genius physicist but never knew much about him. And I learned a lot more about him in the course of making the documentary. But at the time, when I lived with him for 18 years, I really can say I didn't know him at all. He was a complete mystery.
There's the almost shocking revelation of, you know, you finding your father having had his heart attack, he's lying dead on the floor, and, you know, the 9/11 operator is trying to talk you, the 911 operator, sorry, is trying to talk you through the... you know, CPR or whatever, and it's like the first time you've touched your dad. It's like the first physical contact that you've had. Having heard, you know, Dr. Oliver Sacks earlier on the program, does it make you think maybe your dad had some kind of, I don't know, there was some kind of mental pathology or illness at work with him that sort of kept him at distance, removed from the reality of his kids and his family?
Well, you know, I think a guy like that, it's hard for the rest of us to identify with how a guy like that's mind is working. And, you know, physicists historically aren't great family men. They really are off in their own parallel universes. And I've come to identify with him a lot as I got older because I realized that we're both idea men and that it really preoccupies all your time and energy just trying to sort out all these ideas in your mind, and anything else can be seen as a distraction. And that's one of the things that led me to let him off the hook for his shortcomings as a father.
The idea that, that maybe you saw a little bit of yourself in him, the kind of...
Yeah.
In fact, there's a line in the song, Things the Grandchildren Should Know, where you say, I'm turning out just like my father. I swear I never would. Is that basically what you're writing about in that song?
That's part of it, yeah. You know, when you're younger, you rebel against your parents and you swear you're never going to be anything like them. And then one day you're brushing your teeth and you look in the mirror and your father's looking back at you. And I think there's just some things genetically that are going to be pretty difficult to fight. And of course, you can improve on some of their mistakes, but some of it you just have to accept. And I think it's a great thing because it makes you understand them.
There's a little bit of that song, Things the Grandchildren Should Know, from the band Eels.
I'm turning out just like my father, though I swore I never would. Now I can say that I have love for him. I never really understood what it must have been like for him, living inside his head. I feel like he's here with me now, even though he's dead.
The band Eels is led by Mark Oliver Everett. E is his nom de plume, his nom de disque, I suppose. And he has sort of talked a lot about his dad recently, not just in this song, Things the Grandchildren Should Know, but in the memoir of the same name and in the TV documentary, which is called Parallel Worlds, Parallel Lives. Now, you mentioned, E, that your dad was this, you know, kind of personally distant, but this brilliant physicist who you just sort of began to know as you were in this process of writing the memoir, doing the documentary. What did you learn about the many worlds theory?
Well, I had the luxury of learning at blackboards with some of the top physicists in the world at Princeton while making the documentary, teaching me how to understand it. And I was surprised that I came to understand it as much as I have. It's such a huge thing, and it's so mind-blowing. It's hard to wrap our linear thinking minds around it. But I got to understand it. It's like one of those things where the second you really feel like you grasp it, then it flits away.
Oh, like it's music.
Hard. Kind of, yeah. Good point.
Now, you failed algebra, but so here you are taking a crash course in quantum physics and quantum mechanics. What was that like?
Well, I was really scared about it because I just did not inherit the math gene whatsoever from my father. So I thought, wow, this is going to be a real challenge for anyone who's going to try to teach me quantum physics.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea of parallel universes sounds like the stuff of science fiction. And in fact, your father's theory spawned God knows how many science fiction books and movies and Star Trek episodes and whatnot. There's actual math behind it, right? I mean, is there a kind of many-world theory for dummies that you can give us here?
Well, that's what the show does. It let everyone learn it through my dumb eyes. I play the dummy who doesn't understand it, and you learn through my eyes in the documentary.
But in a nutshell, basically, it's your father extrapolated from the way subatomic particles behave out into the universe to say that, you know, for every move you make, every decision you make, a parallel universe is created that sort of splits off, you know, from what we know as reality. And so there would be like, what, infinite numbers of universes, each of them slightly different from another. Is that basically how it works?
That's the basic way to explain it. And he did have math to back it up, but it was so far ahead of its time, there wasn't ways to prove his math. But now, 50 years later, there is, and it checks out really well mathematically.
But in his day, your father was rejected and sort of attracted this reputation for being kind of a crackpot. And, you know, that must have been incredibly difficult for him. Did you know any of this as a kid growing up in the house?
I was only vaguely aware that he had some sort of history as a physicist. And it wasn't until he died when I was a teenager. And then after that, the phone started ringing. Every once in a while, it would be someone that I would call a physics groupie, and they would grill my mother about my father, anything they could learn about him. And as the years went on, those phone calls increased, and then every year or two, magazines like Scientific American would be doing a quantum physics article, and there would always be a thing about him, and the articles kept getting bigger from year to year. And I think it was just because technology was slowly catching up with him.
And is the theory still considered controversial, the many worlds or parallel universe theory?
It is. It's, you know, there's physicists who are Everettians and physicists who are not Everettians, and it continues to be debated.
Really? Is that Everettian? Is that a word? I mean, is that...
Yes, yes. I'm an Everettian.
Whether you liked
it,
whether you wanted to be or not, yeah.
I was born Everettian.
Mark Oliver Everett, E, as he's known, is the leader of the band Eels and author of the book Things the Grandchildren Should Know. And his search for his father, you know, to learn more about his father and his work, is the subject of the Nova TV documentary, Parallel Worlds, Parallel Lives. You made the interesting sort of analogy of, you know, the theory of many worlds being something as elusive as music. In the course of the documentary, were you hearing music? I mean, were you writing music? Was this whole thing inspiring another set of songs from you?
I hope not. I'm going to leave the space rock operas to David Bowie for now, and I'll find other stuff to write about.
But for someone who has, you know, mined his own, you know, experience to such good effect over the years, why not, you know, to take something out of this experience into the music?
Well, now you're inspiring me, so maybe I've got a good space rock opera in me.
I wasn't asking for an opera. I mean, you know, a couple of songs would be enough.
That's possible, too.
Well, let me just ask. I mean, do you see a parallel to your work as an artist from what you experienced with these other physicists as they were, you know, working with you to try and explain your father's theories to you?
As an artist?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the work that scientists do... Look, John Adams has made a big splash with Dr. Atomic, right? This opera about Oppenheimer and the development of the atomic bomb. And he came into our studio and said that he found science to be really kind of magical and mysterious, and it was like the stuff of music. Does that resonate with you? Do you feel the same way?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I learned from all this was that I could identify with my father in a way that I was never aware of before, because I learned that there are scientists and there are scientists who are artists. And I learned that my father was one of the artists, and that really helped me to identify with him.
Well, an artist how? Because he was sort of working ahead of the math and the science of the day?
Well, I think the difference is if you're a scientist who has an idea, a big idea, and that's what sets them apart into the artist category.
Okay. In that sense, maybe you did inherit some of your dad's genes. Maybe not the math, but the desire to do something creative. Do you think that's where your early love of music came from?
Well, you know, his mother was a poet, and I have a theory that poet plus physicist somehow equals what I do.
The physics of the six strings of the guitar and the poetry of the lyrics. Yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
Well, they say math and music are related.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you something about the song "Things the Grandchildren Should Know." That was written, you know, that album came out in 2005. Had you already started down the road to thinking, you know, it might be time now, finally, to write this story, or did that song start you down that road?
Yeah, that song is what started all this. I can pinpoint it to that moment. And I'm not someone who enjoys looking back, and I've just spent the last few years doing nothing but looking back, writing this book and making the documentary and putting together these two retrospective Eels CD collections that just came out. And I can say there is a real value as an artist in doing all the looking back, because it does give you this feeling like you've cleared the decks for the future, and it was worth it. But I'm glad I'm done with it now.
All right. So if a space rock opera is not next, what do you do once you're done with all this looking back?
That's a good question, and I'm just.
I knew
now,
if I asked enough of them, eventually one would be good.
Oh, they've all been good, but I'm at that point right now where I'm facing that question in the mirror every morning, and I don't have the answer yet.
All right. The book is called Things the Grandchildren Should Know. What do you want the grandkids eventually to know about you and your dad?
Well, really, it's to say the title comes from the fact that my father was such a mystery to me, and my whole family died, and I didn't have anyone left to tell me what happened and how they all felt and what my father really felt like as a person. So I just thought, what if this happens to someone in the future that wants to know more about me and how things were for me? So I thought I better write it all down while I can.
All right. The book is called Things the Grandchildren Should Know. The TV documentary, the Nova documentary, was called Parallel Worlds, Parallel Lives. E is Mark Oliver Everett of the band Eels. And E, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you again. Thanks very much for joining us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
That'll do it for today's Soundcheck. Tomorrow, writer, actor, and satirist Harry Shearer joins us to talk about roasting the Bush administration on his latest CD, Songs of the Bushmen, and live music from the self-described post-salsa band Biorritmo. And don't forget, the election's less than a week away. You can help us identify a song that captures the spirit of democracy on the Soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and we had help today from Sophia Pineda-Paddock and Richard Rusinkovich. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM WNYC.